And let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter number 1 in our Bibles this morning. Well, we've just been walking through the Bible, and we've been on a seven-year series. I didn't think it would get like this long, but I figured if we continue this way, just walking through the Bible, pulling out all the golden nuggets that the Bible gives us, and we just keep going on all the way to the book of Revelation, I'm going to be 78 years old by the time we get to that. Amen? And I don't know what God will do with me then. Maybe just say, okay, you're done. Time to go to heaven. Amen. I don't know. But if it's that way, I'm going to prolong it a little longer. Amen. Find some wonderful things in the book of Proverbs. But beginning in Proverbs chapter number 1, I think this, if you only had 3 books of the Bible at your disposal, if we only have 3, we have 66, thank the Lord. But if we only had 3 books of the Bible, I would choose the book of Psalms, the book of John in the New Testament, and the book of Proverbs. I believe these 3 books are probably some of the best books that you can use in your life to give you the wisdom and the tools that you need for life. Amen? And that's what we need. We need tools for life. Have you ever tried to do a job with the wrong tool? You ever tried that? Man, it doesn't work well. And I've seen my wife take her shoe off and try to put a nail in the wall. And the only result is a shoe print on the wall. And, you know, and I believe the book of Proverbs is a tool book for our life that God has graciously given us to be able to give us practical daily wisdom. And we're going to dig into that, look at a part of chapter 1 today. So we're going to begin with verse 20. We've looked at already last week, begun verses 1 through 19. And so let's begin with verse number 20. Follow along this morning as I read. The Bible says here, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. So I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But," I like this verse, "whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Let's pray this morning. Father, we ask your blessings today as we open the Word of God and just look into it, Lord, and see what you'd have for us. We just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning right where we are in our life. And you know us best, Lord. So take these truths, we pray, from your word and help us to use them and apply them in our heart, in our life, for your glory and honor. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's just review a little bit about the first half of the chapter that we looked at last week. And we find out that Solomon, he wrote most of these Proverbs as practical wisdom for everyday life. You know, wisdom is about the choices in our life in everyday life. It's about Monday mornings. It's about Tuesday afternoons. It's about Friday evenings, and it's about Saturday mornings. Practical wisdom in how we live our life. You know, wisdom really isn't wisdom if you can't apply it or use it in your life. You know, that's what wisdom's about. It's about taking truths and putting them into our life where they are practical and useful. You know, the Bible is a very useful book. God made his word to be used and applied. And when it's applied, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what God does in our life when we apply it, when we put it into action. And so God teaches us this. So number one, we saw last week that wisdom doesn't come naturally. You and I were not born with wisdom. We have to learn wisdom. Now, hopefully a parent will teach their child wisdom as they grow up. But if a parent doesn't teach a child wisdom when they grow up, boy, they're going to have a lot harder life to live. And but wisdom does not come naturally. Secondly, we looked at last week how wisdom has a beginning. And the Bible tells us the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. This is a godly respect in our heart and in our mind for the Word of God, that we know God is always true and God is always right. And we have this respect in our heart, built into our mind and in our heart, that we know that God's Word and His will are always the right path. And this is this beginning of wisdom. Without that, we have no need to follow wisdom, or we see no need to follow wisdom. So it has a beginning, and that beginning is the fear of the Lord. And then thirdly, last week, we looked at wisdom has a purpose. And what's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is to cause us not to be able to hear sinners entice us. You know, there is an enticing voice in this world. There is a voice in this world that says, follow me. I have the best. I have the great things. I have wealth. I have riches. I have popular. I have fame. There's a voice in this world, but that voice is wrong. It never produces that. The only voice that really is productive and blessed is the voice of wisdom. And that's the lesson we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at wisdom's voice. Now, the verses that we read speak of this voice. You know, wisdom has a voice. Wisdom speaks. Wisdom is not quiet. Wisdom has a voice, and Scripture shows that to us. So let's begin our lesson today, verse number 20, and let's look at what it says. Notice verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Now, wisdom speaks to us. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a decision to make and something inside of you just said, I better not do that? Has that ever happened to you? It probably has a lot of times. There's some times when there's choices we could make, and the choice that appears in front of us is not a good choice. And this wisdom, something inside of us says, no. Or maybe you can see where that choice would lead you. I compare this to kids going to camp. I like this. This is just a simple illustration, but mama lets their kid go to camp, and they give them $30 to spend for the week. You know, they have choices on what they're going to spend that $30 on, right? Now, some of them, They burn up that $30 the first 2 hours they get to camp. Right? How many of you were like that when you went to camp? Were you like that? Boy, they went to the canteen and, man, they loaded up and they're sugar on a sugar high and they've got, it's almost, then Tuesday comes of camp. They look in their pocket. Uh-oh. I don't have anything. And then they see their friends. Hey, let's go to the canteen. You want to buy something? No, I'm not going to buy anything today. And their friends are enjoying it all that week long, but that one made that choice on that first day to spend it all. And then on the way home, there's that meal. They're supposed to save that $10 for meal on the way home, right? And they get in the car or they get in the van and, hey, we're going to stop at McDonald's. Everybody gets out. Yeah, order hamburger, fries, and, you know, all the good stuff. And there's that one standing back there all quiet. That's a simple, kind of innocent choice. But I want to tell you something. It pictures oftentimes how we live our life. And oftentimes we live our life making these decisions, not thinking of the consequences. We're not thinking that it will affect us. And so God's trying to teach us a different way of thinking in our life. And that's why God is teaching us to have wisdom, to desire wisdom in our life. Because you see, ultimately, wisdom is for our good. You know? That child who spent all his money one day, they may have had a good, fun first day. But, you know, the wisdom didn't carry through the rest of the week. And so our life is like that. Our life is about making choices that are wise and that will bless us and be used in our life. So wisdom speaks. Now notice, first of all, the Bible says wisdom speaks where? It speaks in the streets. You see that? It speaks in the streets. Now what does that mean? It means that in places in life where you could get trapped, or where there are places in life where you have to make choices, that wisdom can be found there. In other words, where you need wisdom, wisdom will speak to you. And then it says in the concourse, the next verse, she crieth in the chief place of concourse. Now I looked that up and I thought, what is that talking about? Wisdom crieth in the chief place of concourse? What's that talking about? It really actually means that it cries or it speaks in a place where there is loud sounds. Now think of that for just a moment. You know, have you ever been to places before where there's just loud music and, you know, there's just something not right. You know, there's wisdom that will speak to us in this world of loud sounds. And you know, it reminds us that that still small voice of God in our heart is teaching us that that is what we need to follow, is the small voice of God speaking to us. Because that gives us wisdom. That wisdom will be there. Wisdom has a voice at these times. And we need to hear what wisdom has to say. And notice now, in verse 22, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now, the Bible's talking about this person who does not listen to wisdom, and it refers to him as a simple person. Now, there's two kinds of negative people in Proverbs. One is the simple one, and the other is the fool. Now, there's a bit of a difference. The simple one in Proverbs is the one who, well, I'll just give you the definition. It's on screen. It means someone who's just gullible, or they lack moral depth or conviction. It's one who's open to anything, good or bad. He lacks a willingness to be restrained. He is what we would call open-minded. Now, that can get you into trouble. That can get you into trouble. Because wisdom teaches us there has to be a moral conviction inside of us, each one of us, that guides us in our decision-making. That's wisdom. So the simple one is this guy, he's gullible. He's not necessarily an evil person, but he could become an evil person. He's just gullible. Whatever the devil tells him to do, oh, okay. Well, that sounds like fun. My friends are doing it. Other people are doing it. So, okay. Now, that's this simple person. He's not guided. He doesn't have a moral compass. He doesn't have a right and a wrong in his life. And I believe you start teaching that when they're kids, when they're young. You can't start too young. They need a moral compass by the time they get to become a teenager. And, you know, sometimes we wait too late in life to teach our kids a moral compass. And, you know, sometimes we just get a late start on it. And by the time they reach those teenage years, there's no internal guide of wisdom that's directing them, and they become a simple one. Now, the next stage is the fool. Now, the fool is the guy who rejects God. He does whatever he wants to do. He, in some aspects, he hates God, and he's going to do whatever he wants to do. Not only does he lack a moral compass, but the fool, he does things actually in a way to go against God. And he turns to an evil life. And don't we see that in our world today? I mean, isn't that prevalent? And these fools, you know, they just are strong in their will. They think they're always right, and they have this strength where they appear right. But I want to tell you, Scripture, as we see, what reveals that, you know, the fool ends in a very bad way. And the truth is, the simple one also will end in a bad way, according to Scripture. So, this is the simple one. He lacks a willingness to be restrained. He don't want any rules on him. And, you know, that's human nature, isn't it? But wisdom teaches us, you know, there's a reason for the fence. The fence is not to just keep everybody out. The fence is to keep us protected. Amen? I'm a pastor, and I visit people, and many times I've gone up to a house, they have a big fence around their yard. Well, if you're wise, you'll realize there might be a reason for that fence. Because sometimes I've opened that fence, you know, to go talk to somebody, closed the fence behind me, got up to the front porch, and there's a Doberman Pinscher behind me. Uh-oh. There was a reason for the fence, right? The fence had a purpose. And you know, wisdom teaches us, okay, there's a purpose for the fences that God puts up in our life. And they're not to harm us. They're to help us. And they're to protect us from evil. Because all the devil needs is a simple one just drifting in whatever feels good at the moment. And the old devil steps in and he entices and he offers them something that can lead them to becoming a fool. So we have to hear what God's word has to say. All right, so let's look at this voice of wisdom. Now, verse 24 tells us that this voice of wisdom calls. It calls us. And this is the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the voice of the conscience. Now, the lost man doesn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. But the lost man has a conscience. That conscience, we know according to the Bible, can be seared, can it? In other words, there's something in a child that knows it's wrong to lie to mommy, right? They know it's wrong. But if they do it and keep doing it, they become, get a seared conscience. And the conscience can be seared. Now, when you're saved, we have the Holy Spirit also to guide us. And we know that he is the Spirit of truth, according to John 16, verse 13, and that he guides us into truth. And if we will hear the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into the wise paths in life. But he also can be silenced. I mean, a Christian can also say, I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, what we don't realize is that we're stepping in that fence where the Doberman Pinscher is. And we're not respecting the fact that God's fences have a reason and a purpose in our life. So the voice of wisdom, it calls to us. It speaks to us. It's an active voice. It tells us if we'll listen to it. And John 8, verse 9 is a verse that teaches us about the conscience, even of the lost man, and the Holy Spirit who works in the heart of us. You can take that verse, read it. We won't look at it today. But notice then also, wisdom's voice can be rejected or dismissed. Now look at verse 24. It says, because I've called and ye, what? You refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Now, a Christian can reject the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. He can reject it. He can listen to his own will or his own mind, because when you get saved, you still don't eliminate the old nature. That old flesh is still there. But we have to listen to God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives so that our life can be blessed and that we can be guided by his Spirit into the right paths of life. And notice, God tries to get us to receive wisdom. Do you know that? God's always trying to get us to receive wisdom. God says, I'm calling. I'm speaking. But how many times are we hearing that voice of wisdom? Or are we allowing us to control our own mind rather than the Holy Spirit of God? Think of this. Why do we have the Holy Spirit? Why does he come to indwell us? What's the purpose? The purpose is so that he can speak and lead us and guide us into the truth of this life. Amen? He didn't come. And by the way, he's got many purposes. He gives us comfort in loss or comfort in sorrow. He has many purposes. But, you know, if we're not listening to that voice, the Holy Spirit of God, and by the way, he speaks through his word. Amen? A lot of people, and this is how you know if the Holy Spirit, if it's really the Holy Spirit speaking to you or some other spirit, because Scripture tells us there's other spirits. But the Holy Spirit will speak in agreement with his word. And that's how we know that it's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So we have to hear his voice. Now, God tries to give this simple one wisdom, but notice, what does he do? He said it not. He said it not, verse number 24. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. Now that phrase, set at naught, means to turn it into nothingness. To take God's words and just, it's nothing. God's words are nothing. And that's what the simple one does. When God speaks, he relegates God's word to just, it doesn't matter. It's nothing. That's a dangerous place to live in our life, isn't it? That's a dangerous place. Because we have then no guide, no one internally inside guiding us in truth. That's a dangerous place to be. And so when God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us in the truth of his word, it's important that we listen and don't relegate his word to nothingness. It's important that we hold that. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we make these decisions small and great every day in our life, don't we? Small and great. We have these decisions to make every day. And so God's saying it's not my fault. You know, a lot of people blame God for things that God didn't do. When really, if you look at what happened in their life, it's a pattern of choices that they made in their life. And that is what has brought them. And then they have the audacity, really, to blame God. Say, God, it's your fault. You did this to me. They get bitter at God. When really, they ought to look in their own heart and say, I made the wrong choices. I made the wrong decisions. But I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to allow wisdom to control my mind and my heart. Well, that's a great place to live, Christian. Amen? And God blesses people who walk that way. So don't set at naught his voices. And then even according to verse 25, even his reproof has no effect. Even God, you know, God does send us to the woodshed sometime. Have you ever been to God's woodshed? Yeah, you ever? That's an old colloquialism. The kids have no idea what I'm talking about, right? But sometimes God's got to correct us that way. And even the chastening of the Lord is because he loves us. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Even the chastening of the Lord. Now, we don't like it at the time. But if we gain the wisdom from the reproof and it leads us in the right path, then God can bless our life. And that's the blessing of it. Now, there's something unusual in verse 26. Notice what the Bible says. God speaking here, he says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, verse 27, let me add this. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now notice, these are the consequences of the decisions from the simple one. He's just doing whatever feels good. And where's it leading him? It's leading him to some destructive decisions. And God says, your fear, your destruction comes as a whirlwind. Well, we live in Moore, Oklahoma. I don't have to explain to you the destruction of a whirlwind, right? We get it here. Amen. We get it here. But I'll tell you, it takes everything, destroys it, picks it up, twists it all up, and leaves it totally confused and broken. And you know, it breaks my heart to see that this is how lives are today. They're totally confused. They're broken. But God says this. Notice what he says. I laugh at their calamity. That doesn't sound like God, does it? I mean, isn't God gracious and kind and long-suffering and patient? Isn't God a God of love? Why would he laugh at their calamity? Now, it's not teaching that God doesn't love people. God is saying here in this passage of Scripture is that distress and anguish come upon them because of their decisions. And they just want God to fix all their problems, but they don't want to really have wisdom in their life. They want God to be the ambulance. They want God to come and just fix everything so that I can do good, you know, and I can just get back to my same lifestyle. And, you know, I think God steps back and he says, wait a minute. Don't you realize what got you in that trouble? And I think sometimes God laughs at our foolishness and our simplicity, that we just go right back into the same thing that got us into that distress and anguish in the first place. And that's what this passage is teaching. The truth is that anyone who turns from their way and turns to God genuinely in their heart will find a long-suffering, faithful God who will heal their wounds. They will find that. But you know, God knows our real intent of our hearts, doesn't he? He knows if we just, God, just fix all my stress and fix all my anguish so that I can get back to living the same lifestyle. And God stands back and says, he laughs at us. He says, man, there's something wrong with you. You can't have joy and happiness by getting back into the same thing that brought you the distress and the anguish. There's only one way to live, and that is to hear the wise voice of God in our life every day. And this voice, anybody who's willing can hear that voice. Amen? It's not an exclusive thing. It's not something that God is willing to hide from us. It's sometimes more often true that we try to hide from that voice than that God is hiding from us. So, wisdom. And then he even mocks wisdom. Think of that. And you know, God looks at us and he says, I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried, and you didn't listen, so what did you expect? Right? But this world's deceitful, and this old flesh is deceitful. And we look around this old world, we say, hey, look at old Joe Blow over here. Man, he's doing all this stuff, and there's no consequences in his life. Well, the truth is we don't know all the consequences in people's lives. And we don't know, but if Joe Blow keeps going down that road, what consequences in life he will face. We don't know. So we can't look at others and say, oh, they got by with it, so I can do it. Now, that's the wrong mentality. Because God's word is true, isn't it? And God promises sooner or later that there are consequences for the choices that they make. And notice what he says here verse 27. Your destruction cometh as a whirlwind when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then they call upon me, but I will not answer. That's because God knows that the intent of their heart is not to be right and be wise in life. The intent of their heart is just to eliminate all the stress. God, take away the consequences. Take away the consequences. You know, the consequences don't always go away. And sometimes consequences stay in our life for a long time. If I could pull off my coat here today and pull up my sleeve, right there, I've got a big scar on my arm. You know how I got that scar? I was about 8 years old, and I went down a gravel road on my bike, and I said, I'm going to go as fast as I can. Right? How many have ever done that? I'm going to go as fast as I can. Before long, that front wheel started wibbling, wobbling. Before I knew it, I was spread flat on the ground, going down a gravel road, and I got that scar right there. You know, that thing healed, thank God, doesn't hurt today. But every time I see that scar, it reminds me of that wreck. You know, and God does a healing work, but sometimes we face scars. Sometimes we face scars in life from those things of our choices. So wisdom keeps us from the wrong choices. And we have to choose wisdom. And so God said in verse 31, he reminds them, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Wow. And be filled with their own devices. That's sad. And you know, God doesn't want that. That's why he's given us his word. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. That's why he's given us encouragement from other Christians. These things all work together in our life to remind us that wisdom is the choice of life that is always the best. It's always the best. You say, well, preacher, it's not always the funnest. It's not always the funnest. But I want to tell you something. When you choose wisdom, there is a peace and a fun, so to speak, that comes when you do choose wisdom. Amen? Hey, I'll tell you something. When God called me to preach, you know, there's times when I didn't want to. I'm the kind of guy that I could slip in the back row of church 1 minute late, slip in the back, and 1 minute early, leave on the back, take out the back door. There's something inside me. By nature, I'm a loner. You don't know that about me. But you can't serve the Lord just by being a loner all the time, you know? And by nature, that's me. I could go out in the woods for a week all by myself and be perfectly happy. Anybody like me here? God bless both of you. Amen. At least got a couple folks on my side. Understand me? You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, though, that if I chose that way all my life, then there would be consequences from that. Oftentimes, our relationships are frayed or broken, or our service for God is weak and emaciated. It's not wholehearted like God wants it to be. So we have to choose wisdom in life, don't we? We have to choose God's way, because God's way is always going to lead us in the right path. Well, we come to the last verse. And the last verse is a wonderful reminder of the blessings of the wise. And notice it says, verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. Well, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That is a tremendous promise of God. God says, when you choose to hear my words. And, you know, somebody asked me one time, he said, you know, God had the ability when he made us to make us to serve him. I imagine he did. He could have made us to serve him, but he didn't. He gave us a free will. He gave us a will to choose what we're going to do. And because really, if you force somebody to love you, it's not really love. But God wants us to choose of our own free will his word and his way. And that is how we show our genuine love back to God. And it's a choice. It's a choice we make. The fool can be a fool if he chooses, right? But you and I can also choose God's path. And God promises the consequences of that. And I love these consequences. Whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Now notice, this is a picture of a blessed life, of a joyful life, a satisfied life, a fulfilled life. This is the picture of that. They dwell safely. And the contrast is that this simple one lives in upheaval and confusion and trouble. And man, the life just gets bad. But there is a wonderful contrast to the Christian who chooses willingly to serve God, chooses God. And they hear God's wisdom and they dwell safely. And they don't have to fear the consequences of the wrong choices in life. Now that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know, when you choose the right choices, you know, when you choose, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live in church, I'm going to be faithful to church, I'm going to take my family to church, I'm going to give to the Lord, I'm going to pray, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to live my life like God would want me to live. Can I tell you something? You're going to have some blessings because of that in your life. You're going to have blessings. You're going to have some wonderful things in life that occur. You're going to have what's called this blessed life. And you know, in Proverbs, the word blessed is actually means happy. Happy. And that happiness comes from God and obeying His word. And you know, the choices we make in our life, they determine how joyful we're going to be in life. I'll never forget when I was just a teenage boy, October 26, 1980 is the day that I made a choice to trust Christ as my Savior. Man, I'm so glad I did that day. 13-year-old boy. And, you know, the preacher was preaching. We were in a week of revivals. And Wednesday night, the Lord just got a hold of me. And, man, the next day I was mowing lawns. I didn't walk forward on that Wednesday night. I should have got saved that Wednesday night, but I didn't. And I got on that lawnmower the next day and was mowing lawns, and I was under conviction. Felt like the, you know, Holy Spirit was working on me. And I felt like that lawnmower was going to turn around and chop me up. I hung on to that lawnmower all day long. But that was just the conviction going on in my mind and in my heart. And I knew I needed to be saved. And I thank God that opportunity came that next night. I walked down, I got saved as a 13-year-old boy. But can I tell you, since making that decision in my life, all of the blessings that I've experienced because of that one decision in my life, I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it for a millionaire's wealth. Amen. Because of the blessings that come from the Lord when we make those wise decisions. So the lesson's pretty clear today, isn't it? It is this scriptural encouragement to choose God's choices for our life so that our lives can be blessed and joyful and fulfilled life. You know, that's really what a joyful life is. It's a fulfilled life. Amen. Fulfilled life. God's been good to me. God has taken care of my every need. When I've ever had a need, He not only takes care of my needs, but He pours out even more than what I need. Amen. And God is so good. And I tell you what, when we choose those choices in life, we see these blessings of God. God does. There have been times when I haven't chosen the right thing. There have been times when I haven't. But anytime I have, I've enjoyed the blessings that God has given me and am thankful for it. Amen. All right, we're going to stop there today. We're going to pick up Proverbs chapter 2 next week. I encourage you to go home and read it and get a step ahead. All right, for next week's lesson. Let's pray.